We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast is presented by Segra. Segra. Powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And welcome into another edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, everybody. Thanks for joining us inside of our makeshift MSN studios. As we hope, wherever you are at, hopefully home, and whatever you are doing, that you are safe, you are sound, and you have your health and your happiness during these most difficult and unprecedented times. As we try to provide a distraction here, as we try to provide the latest information that we can, clearly there are far more questions than there are answers. You have heard the narratives and the rhetoric so often, but as I can say from my family to yours, we're truly thinking about you, Mountaineer Nation, and we hope that we can return to normal as soon as possible. And on that front, I wanted to get into something that Shane Lyon said. We've been just getting far too few positive stories in the headlines, not only in the regular news, but also in the sporting world. And I think that Shane Lyons, West Virginia's director of athletics, this week did a terrific job in a virtual press conference that he held with reporters in, I think, correcting maybe the narrative in the state and maybe in the region based on what some other pundits said as it pertains to football in 2020. Shane is really taking an optimistic outlook at things, and it looks like for all intents and purposes, based on everything that he told reporters earlier this week, that he's planning on playing football in 2020 until he's not. This is what he said about possible contingency plans or maybe going down the path of the hypothetical that the football would not be played. Is West Virginia doing anything from a planning perspective in that regard? I like Shane's answer here, and I think this gives some pretty good context and perspective of where we're at this time.
I'm going to be the optimist and say we're going to play football in August. Until, another month or so rolls around and the medical experts say that's not going to happen, then I'll start, you know, making adjustments. And, you know, I've always said my whole life, you know, the world's about, you know, adapt and adjust. And that's what I'm doing each every day, is adapting, adjusting to the information. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here and start planning on something on hypotheticals. You know, there could be hypotheticals. I mean, you know, I can throw out to say, what if we're not going to have basketball season next year? Well, that's, you know, that starts getting in too far out to even start that discussion. So I want to focus on and be an optimist to say right now, based on the medical experts and the information I'm receiving, that come August, we're going to be playing football. In a month from now, if I get different information that has to be shifted, then I'll adapt and adjust and start looking at that. But, you know, all this that you hear out in the national media and you know, people talking about there's not going to be football season, I think it's foolish to say that right now. You know, I think they can, you know, what I'm being told and the medical experts, there's a great possibility that we're going to be playing football. That's what I'm going to focus on. And then if information comes in the next 15 to 30 days that's different, then we'll start focusing on something else.
So I wanted to start the podcast off with some good news and I think an optimistic outlook, and that is about as optimistic as you can get. So without any further ado, we'll get further into the podcast with, I guess, some of the big news this week as it pertains to big stories in the NCAA. I don't think that there's any bigger revelation than that of spring sport athletes getting another year of eligibility, and the fact that seniors and their scholarships will not count, as it pertains to baseball in particular, against overall scholarship numbers. I think that is going to be pretty good in the short term. However, with any rule or law or bylaw that is passed, while it intends in the college sphere to solve one problem, it could indirectly cause another, or there could be some unintended collateral damage as a result of that. So what I want to do is take a deep dive into this measure that the NCAA passed. We all understand why they passed it, but how does West Virginia deal with this in the short term, but also in the long term? I talked to West Virginia baseball's roster guru, that is assistant head coach Steve Sabins, who is primarily in charge of the recruiting, and he is the guy with the abacus. He's doing all of the algebra as it pertains to the ever-rolling code that can be a college baseball roster. Before you factor in a cancellation of a season and eligibility amendments, college baseball rosters are ever-evolving because you have the big-time factor that is Major League Baseball's draft. Well, if you haven't paid attention to the headlines at that level, as you know, baseball is not playing right now. It's not underway at any level. But what the MLB did is they really curtailed their draft from the 40 rounds down to 5 for the 2020 draft. That's if they even have it. And there's also potential long-term ramifications here, moving to 2021, where they've reduced things down to 20 rounds. So what that does is it has a major impact on college baseball rosters. Now you throw in the extra year of eligibility for not only everybody, but seniors as well. It really can take you down a path that can make your head spin. So what we're going to try to do is not make your head spin as much. We're going to get into it with Steve Sabins, who's really good at playing the numbers game here, and he gives some great insight as to what this all means. Coming up a little bit later on in the podcast, you know, with all of the fallout and the ramifications and the news that has been consuming us, we're probably all on content overload in some way, shape, or form. Lost in the fold, I think, and unfortunately so, is the career of Tynese Martin, West Virginia's fourth all-time leading scorer. The opportunity to get to 2,000 points was cut short abruptly. And a Hall of Fame career, no doubt about it. She will be enshrined when she becomes eligible. But the senior for WVU has her career end in, much like many of the other seniors, in a very anticlimactic fashion. So what is next for her? The WNBA draft, one would presume. Going overseas, many women's basketball players make a ton of money, relatively speaking, in their profession, going overseas. But with COVID-19, that's all sort of up in the air. And what is her lens? How's she dealing with all of this, some 3 weeks or so, with things being just so abruptly taken away? So that's what we have for you lined up on this edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Hope you're doing well. Back in a moment after this from our presenting sponsor and our friends at Segra.
Lumos Networks is now Segra. Segra is proud to support the West Virginia Mountaineers, and we're proud to be investing in the future of Mountaineer Nation. Segra is one of the largest independent fiber bandwidth companies in the U.S. Our new dense fiber network provides the solutions, speed, diversity, scalability, and reliability West Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast have been asking and waiting for. All across our footprint, Segra is providing customers with local attention and the fastest, most reliable fiber network in the region. Call 833-GO-SEGRA or visit www.segra.com to learn more. We are Segra. Let's go, Mountaineers!
What I want to do right now is turn to somebody that I think knows a little bit more about this than I do, and that's West Virginia Associate Head Coach, also the recruiting coordinator for WVU Baseball. That is Steve Sabins. He's been on Randy Macy's staff for quite some time. Sabes, I hope you're doing well, and I hope the family's doing well under these ridiculous and crazy times.
Yep, life is good. The family's doing really good. I think my 2.5-year-old little girl likes having daddy around a little bit more, so all is good.
Yeah, and that's the blessing that comes out of this. But Steve, you have kind of a daunting task to peel back some of the layers here, and you're going to have to navigate some uncharted waters, are you not? So I guess my first question to you is: did the news from the NCAA come down as a surprise?
No, not a surprise. I think originally we thought that's what was going to happen. Everybody in our office, our entire staff, believed that that was going to be the decision that was made. And then over the course of a week or 10 days, I think we went back and forth and you looked at a lot of different reasons that made sense to make decisions in different ways. I don't think there was a right decision because somebody ends up paying the price for such a travesty and what's going on in the world right now. So I think that's what we originally thought. And the reason we can say that confidently is that we have spreadsheets, obviously, of our current roster and forecasting out for 5 and 6 years, because we have kids that are committed in the 2023 class, which are freshmen in high school. And so you can see throughout their 4-year career, you know, that's 8 years away. And something like this will have a ripple effect for a really long time. And so we had already adjusted all of our spreadsheets and our whiteboards. We had adjusted all of that, anticipating that everybody would get a year back. So we've had our head wrapped around that probably for the last couple weeks, trying to kind of figure out what that really meant for us.
Okay, so it's the balancing act. The good is what, Sabes?
Players get the freedom to be able to take control of their college playing careers. If somebody wants to play, they get to end it on their own terms, essentially. They get to come back and finish out a year. They get to have the freedom of playing 4 full years of college baseball in our sense. That's the pros.
So some of the drawbacks can be what?
Players that maybe don't have a future playing the game of baseball for a career will make decisions to go back to school to play, kind of postponing maybe their life or postponing moving on with jobs or opportunities that might be in front of them that they're choosing to now go back to school. Some of the drawbacks for universities, I think Shane probably discussed that a little bit more when it comes to the financial side of this and the roster size. So the more players that come back, the larger the rosters, essentially. And so you're going to have maybe some log jams for some schools. You're going to have some situations where players were expecting to play earlier in their career, but because of players that are coming back, that could change things. I'm speaking more broadly. We're actually in a fantastic situation at WVU. We had three seniors and four juniors. So really, really small numbers. One of the youngest teams in the country last year. So our immediate impact is limited for next year. But now you can see if we have, you know, a large freshman class last year, and then we have another freshman class coming in, we have a really big freshman class now. Mm-hmm. And so in 2 or 3 years, you have a very large junior class. And so it's gonna affect the kids that are coming in. At some point, we didn't expect to have so many veteran players where we're going to really have to deal with the draft and the uncertainty of where kids will be going and, you know, if they'll be coming back to school or signing professional contracts, that kind of thing.
Well, you had to also follow what Major League Baseball was doing and what's going on there. It's been long rumored that they want to shorten the draft. Well, because of COVID-19, they've shortened it a great deal. Essentially, you're looking at 5 rounds in 2020. There's rhetoric about 2021. There's only going to be 20 rounds. And then there's also some financial caps as far as what teams can spend as it pertains to, undrafted free agents. So that's going to upend things as well in the college game, isn't it?
Yeah, it already has, for sure. So you're going to see the transfer portal, a lot more names on that. You're going to get a lot of coaches and people probably pressuring the NCAA for one-time transfer waivers and the allowance of kids being able to transfer without penalty or sitting out a year, because every player that had an opportunity maybe to potentially sign in rounds, if it is 5 rounds, you know, rounds 6 through 40, and those kids end up back in school that were juniors, you now have kids that could be there for 2 more seasons. Mm-hmm. And so that's affecting 2 years of incoming classes. And, you know, players, when they make decisions on where to go to school or why they're going to go to school, a lot of them has to do with rosters and playing time, and people make decisions based on that. So that's just going to change. You know, kids that are coming back, that's kind of that's really interesting, right? Because if seniors don't count for roster limits or scholarship limits, but if juniors that decide to come back that traditionally would sign, now you have immediate impact. Now you have next year, what's your roster look like? Because there's plenty of coaches that expect for specific juniors to sign, because juniors may have vocalized that to their coaches. Hey, coach, if I'm a top 20 rounder, I love you, I love the program, but it's my time to go. And so coaches then recruit based on that information. They're bringing in players to replace scholarships. So that's immediate impact.
Yeah, and if they can return without foregoing any of their draft leverage, they're inclined to come back to be able to put better tape together, if you will, for the professional scouts, knowing that, again, they haven't lost any of their leverage as it pertains to signing bonuses and things of that nature. Well, Sabes, let's try to funnel this down, because it's really all over the place. Let's just look at it. It's good to at least talk about what is out there, but let's narrow it down to West Virginia baseball in the very, very short term. Is this something that is good for West Virginia? And it looks like at its core, it's going to provide Randy Mazey, yourself, the opportunity to have a lot of competition at a lot of spots and to have access to a lot better players at a number of positions.
Yeah, I think it's great, because it gave kids the opportunity to choose what they want to do and to prolong their college careers. All of us are in it for that. So if it gives a kid an opportunity to play and to have moments and memories that are going to be lasting for that guy's career, and for kids in general just to be part of teams, if we're looking at it holistically, it is without a doubt a win for college athletes. I think it makes all coaches and administrators' jobs very difficult, but in a very tough time in a pandemic situation, I think if you ask anybody, they would prefer that coaches and ADs and adults take the brunt of this. And that's just the truth. So I think a huge win for players and our student athletes, and I'm really happy for them. I think everybody's a little bit sped up at this time, just trying to fully understand what this means moving forward for everybody. We're in, I really believe it'd be interesting to find out. I think West Virginia might be in the best situation in the nation as far as if you're looking at student athlete centric mindset, because with such a limited senior class, we might not have the biggest advantage on the field. Obviously, if you bring back kids that are in their fifth and sixth year of college, they might be more prepared to compete at a really high level. But we're going to have to make so few tough phone calls compared to a lot of programs. And our freshmen, who we think are fantastic players, and I believe it is our second or third consecutive year with a top 25 recruiting class, a top 30 recruiting class, our kids are going to play. Our kids are going to get pushed onto the field and have to compete and grow and learn. And so as those guys grow and as they get better, we're going to be really, really tough. Obviously, teams that were very talented and had old, experienced teams this year, if all those players come back, theoretically, they should be really tough, but they're going to have really hard roster situations. They might have to let go some really talented players that want to play now. And so I think in the grand scheme of things, you know, narrowing this down to West Virginia baseball, we might be in the best situation out of anybody in the country. Just, we're going to have some juniors that come back that are huge, huge team guys that would have been draft picks that choose to come back to West Virginia because they love the program. And then we're going to have some seniors that are going to have a hard decision to make.
Yep, no doubt. It is exciting to think about a 2021 roster when we're playing baseball with the prospect of Zarbnitsky returning, if he decides. Doan's returning, if he decides. Your Friday night starter, Jackson Wolf, to return, if he decides. That's a pretty good problem to have if you're Randy Mazey.
Yeah, it's an awesome problem to have. And coaches, we always get so fired up about the development side. And so we get so excited about the freshman that was in the wings, that was getting some pinch hit at bats that we know is going to make another jump. And now we're saying, man, that guy might have 5 years with us. He's going to be such a good college player. He's going to be such a huge contributor when this is all said and done. And so that's also the exciting thing. Those young guys, they're not going to get on the front cover of this story right now, but some of them are going to greatly benefit.
So, Steve, help me out here, and I don't know if this is a solution here, looking for a problem or something along those lines. Now, does anybody or any program, you said West Virginia sort of benefits, but I guess my question is, you know, we're a cold weather school, if you will, in the Big 12 conference. Does any other conference or region of the country benefit from this more so than the other, or is this everybody's at an equal competitive or advantage or disadvantage?
I don't think anything having to do with location or weather related. It's unknown currently what's going to be an advantage versus a disadvantage. I think initially the easy thought is saying, well, that's not fair. X school has a 50-man roster and Y school has a 39-man roster. Obviously, the 50-man roster is better. That's why we have limitations. But at a certain point, there's no return on the additional bodies, because there's only so much batting practice you can throw, and there's only so much attention that four coaches can give a group of guys. And so at a certain point, the return is limited. I just don't think any of us know what that is. So I think it's unequal. For the first time, it's not balanced, which is odd. So we're going to have a very small roster compared to the other teams that we play this season. So that's interesting.
All right. So let's boil it down even into more short term here. Over the next few weeks, over the next few months, as you're working in a self-quarantine fashion and under the rules and restrictions of social distancing. What is the first order of business here for West Virginia baseball? What's at the top of your priority list to help make this program better?
Yeah, the top of our priority list is making sure that our players are doing everything within their power to continue moving forward and developing. Without a question, it's just how are you maximizing your time? It changes. It doesn't matter if you're quarantined, if you're playing summer ball, if you're in fall, if you're during the spring. It's literally, are you doing what you need to do in order to get better today? And without an organized schedule and a plan of attack and a mindset that you're going to put West Virginia to places it's never been before, you have zero chance of doing that and accomplishing your goals and you know, helping a team do things that has never been done before. So our immediate focus as a coaching staff is to ensure that players have a plan in order to get better. And I think it's like anything in life. If you want to get better, you are able to get better within your current, you know, circumstances. So everybody has certain circumstances that they're are unknown and unusual and potentially uncomfortable with right now. But I think we're all able to grow and get better. And like you said, there's benefits. I'm getting to see my family more. And, you know, the time is almost feels like it's unlimited right now compared to what we had. And so finding ways to get better at your game, whether it's physical or mental or emotional or visualization, or there's just a lot of different things that we can do to become better competitors. And so I think that's the immediate focus. And then the non-coaching side is obviously roster management's a huge piece to this. So we have to have very clear and concise conversations with our players to understand what their goals are and then help them achieve that. Goals, meaning surrounding the draft, free agency, our incoming players' goals, surrounding, you know, being realistic with what our roster is going to look like and making sure that everybody knows what they signed up for and you know, that we're going to get ready to work. I think those are our main goals right now. It's first and foremost always going to be our players and the development of our players. And then we have to look a little bit bigger picture for who's going to be here over the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then bringing in players that we need in order to fill those holes.
Lumos Networks is now Segra. Segra is proud to support the West Virginia Mountaineers, and we're proud to be investing in the future of Mountaineer Nation. Segra is one of the largest independent fiber bandwidth companies in the U.S. Our new dense fiber network provides the solutions, speed, diversity, scalability, and reliability West Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast have been asking and waiting for. All across our footprint, Segra is providing customers with local attention and the fastest, most reliable fiber network in the region. Call 833-GO-SEGRA or visit www.segra.com to learn more. We are Segra. Let's go, Mountaineers!
And we welcome you back to the Mountaineer Insider, our home studio setup, as we have on the phone right now, back home in Atlanta, Georgia, one of the all-time leading scorers in West Virginia history, Tynese Martin. Tynese, pretty crazy circumstances. The season is probably just about supposed to be ending, but we never had an opportunity to even play the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. It brought your career to an abrupt end, and I just wanted to talk to you about how you're dealing with that and what the whole experience was like some 3 weeks ago.
I mean, you know, getting the news, it was something different. At first, I thought we were going to be able to come back and play, but obviously that didn't happen. But it makes me feel a little bit better that I'm not the only one that's going through it. You know, the whole world, the whole sports world is going through it. Not even just basketball, football, you know, all sports. So it's something that will, you know, definitely tear you down. But with that being said, I still got something to look forward to, which is the WNBA draft and hopefully overseas. understanding that we don't know what's going to happen after the draft, but knowing that it's still going to happen is still something to look forward to.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that here in just a moment. But first, let's stay in Kansas City for a moment. Where were you when you found out the news, and what was the reaction with the rest of the team when everything sort of progressed, but progressed so quickly, did it not?
Yes, it did. It progressed, honestly, within a couple of hours. I remember we were headed to our second practice of the day, and we were headed to the gym, and they said, you know, we kept driving by, and everybody was kind of confused. And then Terry Howell, she came back to the back of the bus and told us that they shut the tournament down. So we're like, okay, you know, they probably just shut this down. So we still got NCAA, whatever the case may be. But then we started thinking about it, like, okay, well, if they shut Big 12 down, that kind of determines, you know, the placement of the NCAA. So how are we going to do this? And within a couple of hours after that, NBA shut down. It did not, I mean, after NBA shut down, we kind of figured that they're going to shut everything down. And from there, it was kind of like a domino effect. Everybody was kind of sad, especially like the freshmen and the people that haven't experienced Big 12 play tournament time. We were in a different state because this was our first time playing with the boys at the same time. So, I mean, it was kind of a shock to everyone.
Tiny Smartin is with us. Ty, when did it really hit you that I'm done playing basketball for West Virginia? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember the emotions that you had at that time?
Honestly, I feel like it hit me when I got back to Morgantown after Kansas, and I started packing all my stuff, and I'm like, I think I was emotional because I had to throw so much stuff away, but then I was like, wow, like I'm not going to be in Morgantown anymore. I'm growing up, you know, 5 years has gone by so quick. What's the next step? So I think the day after the news, when I started packing up and when I started realizing that I had so much stuff to take back home and that I was going back to Atlanta and that I should be playing in March Madness right now, that's when it hit me.
What were those emotions like? Because, you know, a lot of folks, it all ends on the court. It ends usually for most people in a loss. Very few end the career the way that they want as a national champion, but usually a career ends on the hardwood. That wasn't the case for you. Have you had to struggle with that, or have you been okay with that?
I kind of struggled with it because, like you said, usually it ends, you know, with the crowd. Sometimes you have emotions, sometimes you don't. You're doing something that you love, so that's the bittersweetness of it. But it's a lot different. I've never experienced this before. My whole life playing basketball, I've always played March Madness. I've always been a part of something around this time. So just the feeling in general was weird. But I mean, the good thing about it is I still have a gym to go to. I still have personal trainers. Still looking forward to the next step. So that's the only thing that encouraged me.
Yeah, and there's some seniors that, you know, this is it for them. I can only imagine, Tynes, what they're going through and what they're feeling to just have a career end that way. At least you have, I guess, the next step, so to speak. So it is certainly surreal. Tynes Martin is with us here on the Mountaineer Insider. How is training going under the circumstances in which you have to work under social distancing? You know, the gyms aren't open. Some playgrounds, they're taking the rims off the basketball hoops to try to prevent these pickup games. So for a basketball player, I would imagine this is a pretty unique time to try to stay ready when you're trying to be drafted.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely a time for people to think outside the box, you know, instead of going to the court or, you know, instead of putting up shots, as bad as that sounds, like you got to run outside. You got to, you know, find a way to stay in shape without a basketball or without people around. So I am fortunate enough to have connections and back at home. I have multiple gyms and multiple people to work out with. So that's the only upside of this. But you're correct. I've driven around trying to find an outside court when I don't have the gym available to me. And they down here, they haven't taken the rims off, but they definitely lock up the courts. If they have a gate around it, they try to lock it up. It's kind of hard trying to find a place when it's a lot of people because I don't want to be around a lot of people to spread it or, you know, to put myself at risk. But I've been doing a lot of one-on-one sessions with my trainer and trying to have a limited amount of people around me, social distancing. But it's kind of hard as well, because now you're forced to think about the things that when you touch your face or when you sweat and, you know, when you wipe off your shoes or, you know, you're forced to think about a lot of stuff. So it's kind of hard.
Tynese, have you gotten any insight as to what's going to happen with the WNBA? We were talking before we went on the air here. It looks like the draft is going to take place, but as far as an actual season is concerned, boy, that's a completely different animal in and of itself, right?
Oh, sure. Well, the only thing that I heard was if the NBA gets to proceed their season, of course ours is going to be pushed back. So everything is kind of going to be off, I want to say, the next year, because if NBA takes the summer, that's our season. So they're going to have a couple months, then we're going to have a couple months if they still decide to do that. And that's going to push back things for overseas as well. So I'm not sure. Everything is kind of up in the air right now. Agents, every time I talk to an agent or, you know, a coach, they say the same exact thing. Nobody really knows until it happens. So even after the draft, we don't know about training camps. We don't know about anything. So we're just waiting on the phone call, honestly.
So for women's basketball players, they have a fairly limited window in which they could make money. And if you could explain also how the game overseas works. Are you going to be forced into a situation, Tynese, where you have to make a decision, for lack of a better term? Do I enter the WNBA draft, or am I best served going overseas? Or are you not at that point yet?
I've been at that point. Me and my dad actually talked about that. I tried to figure out how they were going to do it, just like you said. Even if the WNBA and overseas were at the same time, I mean, that would be a problem, I feel like, for both of their organizations, because now players will have to choose which one they would want to do. And of course, women, we get our money overseas, but as of right now, to us, overseas isn't safe. So I think people will try to stay in the States as long as they could, being around family and, you know, just being in the States where it's supposedly safer, quote unquote. But I don't think they're going to put us in a situation where we would have to decide which one we want to go to, because there are a lot of players that are playing the WNBA that have a great name overseas. So I don't think they will put us in that position.
Well, that's comforting to hear, because, you know, as I was thinking through this and as you were discussing it, it's kind of a, I hate to look at it from a pessimist point of view, it's kind of a bad time to be Tynese Martin, in that, you know, a decorated college player who has an opportunity to really do well in the WNBA draft. You've got some things working against you, but at the same time, it sounds like there are some protections in place, at least at this juncture, that the league's going to undertake here to hopefully help you out to where your options aren't bad and worse.
Correct. And like I said, of course, I can sit here and be like, wow, this is crazy. You know, never thought this would happen and whatever. The kitchen people, when you look to your left and your right, it's thousands and millions of people that are going through the same thing. So if this is what's best, then I'm for it.
Tynese Martin is with us. So you're just taking this day by day, it sounds like, just waiting for everything to unfold and not looking too far ahead, because if you do that, that can kind of be dangerous under a set of circumstances like this, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm just taking it day by day, trying to get in the gym when I can, trying to work out when I can, and I mean, that's about it, without everything shutting down.
So, Tynese, you have an opportunity here, even though it probably wasn't the way that you wanted your Mountaineer career to end. You had one of the most decorated careers in West Virginia history, a top five all-time scorer, fourth all-time. Do you feel that you had an opportunity to properly say goodbye to Mountaineer Nation?
Oh, of course not. I mean, senior night, you know, that was one thing, you know, to play my last game in the Coliseum and to wave to all the fans that's been there for years and years, even before me. That was one thing, but to carry West Virginia to another NCAA appearance, or, you know, another second round, another Sweet 16, or our first Sweet 16, it would have been a lot different. It would have been a different talk. So who knows where we would have ended up. We had the same conversation my sophomore year when we were on the bubble before going into Big 12, and that Big 12 run was magical, and it's still one of the talks to this day. So it could have been another one of those. It could have went either way, but without that, we will never know.
Well, we certainly won't, but you do have an opportunity here, albeit unconventional in a podcast form. You released something on social media earlier in the week saying goodbye, so I'll give you an opportunity here to maybe talk to Mountaineer Nation. I guess it's the next best thing here to tell them what's on your mind and what's been in your heart for 5 years here.
Oh, you put me on the spot, Dan. Well, to Mountaineer Nation and the fans of WVU, I just want to say thank you for coming out and supporting us my entire 5 years. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure seeing the same faces over and over again, even though people don't understand what that does, win or loss. And even especially these last couple of months when, you know, we didn't do so well, and I would still see the same faces day after day, you know, commenting on pictures, uplifting me, even when times were rough, even when we had a lot of injuries year after year, even when, you know, things weren't going right. I just want to say thank you to everyone, my coaches, my staff, my trainers, my strength and conditioning coach, Zach, Sam, Coach Carey, Coach Chris, Craig, and even Lester and Chester, who aren't here, Coach Bett, Meg, Yaya, everyone to the front desk, to the secretaries, Miss Angela, everyone that played a big part in me being here, me being who I am today, Cody, thank you so much for dealing with me for 5 years, because I know it was not easy at all. So,
well, it was always fun, Tynese, and you always did it with a smile on your face and with grace, and at the same time, a dominant form. So it was a pleasure to call your games, and we're going to miss you, but it's not going to be the last time we're going to see you. I suspect you'll be back here early and often, and before too long, the WVU Hall of Fame.
Yes, hopefully that's what I'm aiming for.
Well, Tynese, all the best to you. Stay in touch. Don't be a stranger. And all the best this summer here with the draft and wherever your travels may take you here in the next level.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Well put there from Tynese Martin, certainly one of the best all-time to ever wear a West Virginia women's basketball jersey. Well, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Mountaineer Insider. We urge you to continue to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN and stay logged on to WVUSports.com. A lot of folks are working very hard to provide a lot of content, I could say, for all of us here at MSN. We've had a lot of fun putting together the projects of, be it old basketball games from the NCAA tournament from recent memory. I can let you in on a little secret. We are going to continue tapping into the time capsule for the foreseeable future. So as the weeks go on, the games, I think, folks, are going to get a lot better. We're going to have an opportunity to air some of the all-time classic West Virginia wins, especially on the football front, and we're going to continue to go back. So you're going to hear stuff perhaps that you may have never heard before, only you've read about. Some of you may have not been alive for some of the great games, and you may have an opportunity to hear some of the great broadcasters of all time in West Virginia history. I think I've let the cat out of the bag here a little too much, but after all, this is the Mountaineer Insider. So stay tuned. This Art19 platform in which you're listening to this Mountaineer Insider podcast is terrific, as it distributes to a number of digital platforms. You might be listening on Stitcher, you might be listening on Apple Podcasts, Google, whatever it may be. It's all fed through our Art19 platform, which you'll see on our Twitter timeline, which you see if you're listening at WVUSports.com. Heck, you might be on a platform that I don't even know about. It feeds so many. But be sure to follow that, subscribe, like
all of the audio and content that West Virginia Sports is putting out, because there's going to be a lot more on the horizon. Again, follow us on Twitter. A lot of animation and great clips from Tony's era, Jack Fleming's era is going to be coming down the pike as well. We have daily content at WVU MSN. Well, without any further ado, talk to you next week, same time, same channel. I'm Dan Zangrilli, and always and forever, we hail West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. We appreciate you tuning in to this week's edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, presented by Segra.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. The Mountaineer Insider has been presented exclusively by Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at wvusports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.